look to the sun, set our eyes on our Savior, see the image of love.
Hello and welcome to our morning service at Cornerstone Baptist Church in Leeds. I want to give you a really special welcome. Special welcome to you if you are here for the first time. A special welcome to you if you are returning to these services, perhaps after some time away. And a special welcome to you if you have been engaging with these services since the very beginning of lockdown. Whoever you are, however you're coming this morning, you are welcome here. As we meet together, may God meet with us. May He draw near to us as we draw near to Him. It's the first Sunday of Advent today. It's a very special season in the Christian calendar as we anticipate the coming of the Lord Jesus. It's a season of great hope, and we're going to be picking that up in our service as we follow through in a little while as he gives the all-age talk. Nathan Shipley will light an Advent calendar, and that's a wonderful tradition for this time of year. And it's also a wonderful tradition to read verses like this one. Going to read from Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, a prophecy of the coming Lord Jesus. The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Before we come to sung worship, which Ed and Sophie Borrett are going to lead for us, let's spend a moment in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you that we anticipate your coming this Advent season. And we do look forward with great hope to your coming and to celebrate that. But we recognize that you are already here with us right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we pray today that as we draw near to you, yes, Lord, you would draw near to us and meet with us and fill our hearts afresh with faith, with love, and with irrepressible hope. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I stand before you now, the greatness of your renown. Of the majesty and wonder of you, King of heaven, in humility I bow. As your love, wave after wave, crashes over me, crashes over me, for you are for us. You are not against us, champion of heaven. You made a way for all to enter in.
are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter in. You make me brave. You make me brave. You call me out beyond the shore into the waves. You make me brave. You make me brave. No fear can hinder now the loved and made a way. You make me brave. You make me brave. You call me out beyond the shore into the waves. You make me brave. Crashes over me, crashes over me. For you are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter. As your love, wave after wave, crashes over me.
Away, only overwhelming, never
There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow.
Just so good, isn't it, to worship our God as we sing his praises and to sense that our hope is being renewed as we do so. Service is going to proceed now with a number of people taking part. It's just so great to have so much participation in these services. Nathan, as I've said, is going to be leading our all-age talk. We're going to have prayers from Rio and Joe Walsh, and then Kate Churchill is going to read the scriptures to us. And then it's a great pleasure to welcome Mark Rock from our Crag Gathering to our preaching team. I've already heard what Mark is going to say. One of the still strange things about these pre-recorded services, and Mark is very lively, very dramatic, and really earthed in scripture, and I know that you'll get a huge amount over what he has to say. So it's over to Nathan now, and our service will proceed without further links from me.
If I took a step into your living room or wherever you're engaging with this service, and I came alongside you and I asked the question, how are you? What would your response be? Perhaps you're dizzy from permission granularity, or more likely still coming to terms with what a Christmas bubble will be, the tier that we find ourselves in, and the impact of both of those things on the coming weeks and months. Perhaps you're loving life. Everything is awesome, everything is cool, that you've got lots and lots of reasons to be cheerful, that mean you have hope for the weeks and the months ahead. Or maybe you feel as if all the colour has been taken away, that these times have been difficult, that there's been loss, there's been frustration, there's been hurt and tears, and that if I were to come alongside and ask, how are you, then words wouldn't be enough to express how you're feeling at this current time. As Peter has already mentioned, today is the first Sunday in Advent, and it's important for us to remember the purpose of this period. Advent is not a time to prepare for Christmas. to think about what presents do we need to get? What food will we eat? Who will we spend time with and what films will we watch? The purpose of Advent is to prepare ourselves to remember the first coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ spent all of eternity past, before the creation of the world, preparing himself for his first coming. And as part of those preparations, the Trinity were considering, what name shall we give ourselves? How shall we be known? And we know that one of the titles given to Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Today, whether we find ourselves confused, sad, happy, all of those emotions at the same time and countless more, the truth is that God is with us. And as we enter into this period of Advent, we want to remember Jesus' first coming well. And so as I light the first candle, I want to encourage all of us to ask God, how should I prepare to remember your first coming? And the Holy Spirit might prompt something very specific, something that you as a family or a household or with friends can do to remember Jesus' first coming. It might be that the Holy Spirit brings to mind a song that will become your soundtrack to Advent. It might be that it's something completely different and incredibly creative that the Holy Spirit will prompt and inspire for you as you prepare to remember Jesus' first coming. Let's make the most of this time of year. Let's prepare ourselves, one another, together to remember the first coming of Jesus.
I'm a friend of God. Heavenly Father, as we approach you now in prayer, we join together as one family, crying, Abba, Father. Thank you for the wondrous reality of our adoption as your sons and daughters. Thank you that your Father's heart is so great and that you delight in reconciling prodigals to yourself. Father, we ask for your forgiveness today. Help us to run from sin and embrace what is good, finding refuge in your mercy and love. Father God, we know that you are eager to give good gifts to your children, and this gives us confidence as we pray. We ask that you bless the ministry of this church, not just in the formal organised activities, but in our day-to-day lives. Help us each to serve effectively on our front lines, seeing you at work in our homes, workplaces, outdoors, and even virtually. Father, help us not just to survive, but to really thrive during this pandemic, growing in our devotion to you and taking opportunities to witness your overwhelming and infinite love to the world around us. We believe you are eager to give good gifts, so Father, please bring revival, personally, as a church family, and in this city. May we see a renewed interest in faith in our communities, and may we see many people coming to faith, sons and daughters being reconciled to their Heavenly Father. Lord, we remember your words in Matthew 18, verse 3, that invite us to change our ways and become like a child. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Help us to love and serve the children in our life, and may we learn from them. Help us to experience our life with a renewed sense of wonder, and may we have a simple trust in you as our Father, despite the storms of life. As we move now to listen to Mark preach, may you prepare our hearts that we might be eager to learn and to receive what you are speaking to us today.
Today's reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 to 56. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zachariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you amongst women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfil his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he has promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
What would make you celebrate wildly, madly, without any restraint? What would get you singing and dancing? In 2002, Americans Angelo and Maria Galina won the lottery twice in one day. In the morning, they got $124,000, and in the afternoon, it was $17 million. Quite incredible. Angelo celebrated by filling his car with petrol and getting a haircut. Now, that's one way to celebrate. Have you heard about El Gordo, the fat one? This is the huge mega Spanish Christmas lottery. And in 2011, an entire village, Sodeto, in northern Spain, won £650 million. And apparently they got through 70 bottles of champagne. That's another way to celebrate. So what would get you celebrating madly without any inhibition whatsoever? This brings me to Mary's song in Luke chapter 1. Now, Mary was living in a violent world. Herod the Great was not noted for his wit and his bonhomie. He was a very brutal tyrant. Also, there were Roman soldiers, and they could also be very, very unpleasant. By trusting God, by obeying God, Mary would become pregnant, but also she would become a very vulnerable teenager. You see, under the Mosaic law, there was the possibility of stoning. And yet, Mary is giddy with excitement and hope and triumph. You see, this is the Magnificat, Mary's song, her song of praise and thanks to God. Just notice that Mary is very knowledgeable about the Old Testament scriptures. You see, she knows that God is great, and she knows and delights in God, her Saviour. She's aware of the fact that she's a sinner who needs salvation. I'm sure that she knew Job chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Now, this is a very Jewish hope in the resurrection of the body, living on the renewed earth, a world without sin, decay, evil, and tyrants like Herod the Great. Can you picture it? A world without wars and death. A world filled with delight and celebration. As a woman who was steeped in the Old Testament story, Mary's hope includes both heaven and earth. God's purpose, it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, is to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In my view, Mary would have known and loved passages that connected the coming of the Messiah, the Anointed One, and the healing and the restoration of God's good creation. Isaiah 11 talks about the Messiah as one who will bring peace and justice and delight to the earth. It says the wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw with the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Mary knew God's promises that one day the whole world would be restored, healed, fixed, and mended. And this gave her great joy. You see, in her song, Mary is both aware of her sin and her need of a saviour. She's also humble before the Lord. You see, God has done great things for Israel and for her. In verse 50, Mary understands the covenant. Those who fear God will be shown mercy. Now, the Psalms are full of this theme. God's mercy is shown to those who hear and obey his word. Psalm 37 puts it like this: a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. This is hope in Yahweh, and it's summed up beautifully here. And of course, Mary's son Jesus picks up this theme in Matthew 5. The meek, the humble, those who trust in Yahweh will inherit the earth. Not just the land of Israel, but the whole earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Verse 51 says, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. Clearly, Mary knew the story of Exodus and how God judged proud Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, through those mighty acts of deliverance. We're talking those plagues of boils, of frogs, of gnats. Dramatic, dramatic deliverance of God's people from the land of Egypt. You see, Mary knew that God, the Lord God, could bring down rulers. In verse 52, it says, he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. And we can sometimes miss this political theme, the affairs of states and governments, but it's there in Mary's song. You see, Mary would have known about King Ahab and how God judged him. Do you know about King Ahab? Let me tell you the story of Naboth's vineyard from 1 Kings 21. Ahab was the king of Israel during the time of Elijah. Instead of worshipping the true God, he worshipped Baal, and his wife Jezebel was indeed a priestess of this pagan god, for whom they did some quite horrible things. Now, Ahab loved fine dining. He loved beautiful cuisine, posh nosh. And in particular, he loved fresh fruit and vegetables. One day he spotted a vineyard near his palace, and he began to look at the vineyard, and he began to covet that vineyard that did not belong to him, that was owned by a young lad called Naboth. And Ahab goes round to Naboth and says to him, let me have your vineyard, dear Naboth, to use as a vegetable garden, since it is so close to my palace. In exchange, I will give you a better vineyard. Or if you prefer, Naboth, I will pay you whatever it is worth. Now, Naboth was a plucky fellow, and he said, no, Ahab, this land belongs to my family. He knew God's law. And in Israel, the land belonged to God, to Yahweh, but it was leased to every single Israelite who had their inheritance, their piece of land. You see, the land did not just belong to Pharaoh or to the king of Israel, but it was a gift from God given to each family. So different from the land of Egypt. Now, I believe that Mary knew this. So Ahab goes home, lying on his bed, sulking, unhappy, refusing to come down for his posh nosh. His wife, Jezebel, quizzes him. Why are you sulking, dear husband? Why won't you come down for your steak au poivre and a beautiful tarte au pomme? Ahab is close to tears. Naboth is a rotter, bounder, a cat. Call yourself a king, replies Jezebel. Cheer up, I'll get your vineyard for you. So Jezebel, the pagan priestess, frames Naboth, falsely accusing him of blasphemy, and he is stoned to death. And Ahab goes down and takes hold of the vineyard that does not belong to him, but had belonged to Naboth. And then the Lord God speaks to the prophet Elijah, and he challenges Ahab in a wonderful confrontation. And he says to the king, this is what the Lord says. Have you not murdered a man and seized his property? And then Elijah goes on to tell Ahab that his house is being judged and that Ahab would be put to death by the Lord. Later, in a battle, Ahab dies. An archer draws a bow at random, and Ahab is dispatched. See, this is a key theme in Mary's song. Yahweh, the God of the Bible, is on the side of Naboth, the innocent, ordinary, humble geezer, and opposed to the rich, pampered, power-mad ruler Ahab. Moving on to verse 53, it says, he has filled the hungry with good things and has sent the rich away empty. Now Mary would have known the story of how Elijah helped the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17. Elijah asks the widow for bread and water during a time of acute famine. Now, the widow only has a bit of flour and is preparing to go home for a last meager meal with her son and then to die. And then there is a wonderful miracle, a sign and wonder of the endless flour in a jar and the endless oil in a jug. How that woman must have praised God, how she must have praised Yahweh, because she knew, like Mary, that God is merciful and faithful to his promises. In verse 54 we read, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary had a profound knowledge of God because she marinated in the story of Israel. She was soaked in the story, in the narrative of God's faithfulness to his covenant promises. And this brought her delight. Her knowledge of Yahweh and his covenant made her giddy with joy and excitement. Now, let's be honest. Today, many people are puzzled by Mary's incredible hope in God. For a few moments, I'd just like to go back to my story about the village that won the lottery in Spain. Small village called Sodeto, not that far from Barcelona. It was a huge jackpot, £650 million sterling, and everyone in the village got at least £80,000. And some of them got more. Some got a million, some got 3 million. There was only one man in the village who didn't get any of the jackpot, but everyone else, about 250 people, all got a share. And in my work at Thinking Faith Network, I've studied carefully the responses of those villagers. What a contrast with Mary. Some of the villagers thanked their lucky stars. Some thanked fluke and chance. One woman even thanked her dead grandmother. Others thanked fate. And another woman thank the universe. How tragic. And there are many who simply had no thanks. There was no gratitude at all, just rushing to the shops to consume champagne, which they did, oysters, cars, motorbikes, tractors, and of course holidays in the sun. You see, this is the tragedy of our broken Western world, full of its empty, inane, foolish consumerism. Now, today, let's be honest about this. We don't meet pagan people like Ahab or Jezebel. You don't meet many people who worship Baal or Asherah, the goddess. But every day, we meet secular people who live as if there is no God, as if everything is just physical. Their horizons of happiness are just secular and materialist. These are folk who live in a thoroughly materialist and godless story. For many people today, there is no one to thank when they scoop the mega jackpot. There is no rejoicing and hope for the world which we see in Mary's song. You see, Mary's song is poignant. Mary's song is inspiring. It's very beautiful. Mary's song is full of faith in God. And of course, Mary's song points to Jesus, the Lord of heaven and earth, the one by whom God has made everything, and the one through whom God is redeeming and rescuing his broken world. Let me leave you with a question. Why are there so many today who cannot sing Mary's song? For a takeaway, I'd like to suggest that you spend some time this week reading and marinating, soaking in Isaiah 65, verses 17 to 25. The passage begins, "Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth." Ponder Mary's joy, her faith, and her gratitude to a good God as we look forward to our celebration at the birth of Jesus, our Saviour, our great King.
What a heart long.
us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
Oh, we look to the sun, set our eyes on our Savior. See the image of love, sing his praises forever. Oh, we look to the sun. Oh, we look to the sun. Salvation, tearing through the dead of night. See the kingdom burst into colors at the speed of light. Freedom, shaking up the atmosphere. As the shadows fade into nothing as the day appears. Beyond the skies above, love reaching out for us, the everlasting one, Jesus our God. Oh, we look to the sun, set our eyes on our Savior, see the image of love, sing his praises forever. The kingdom come. See the hope of heaven shining like the rising sun. Now forever lifted up from death to life. There's no fear in love and no darkness in his endless light. Beyond the skies above, love reaching out for us, the everlasting one, Jesus our God. Oh, we look to the sun, set our eyes on the Savior, see the image of love, sing his praises forever. Oh, we look to the sun, set our on our Savior, see the image of love, sing his praises forever. Oh, we look to the sun. Oh, we look to the sun. Oh, we look to the sun.
Well, thank you to everyone who's taken part in this service today. Mark left us with a question, And I just want to underline that for you. Why are there so many who cannot sing Mary's song? Why are there so many who cannot sing Mary's song? That's a good question for us to take into the week ahead. And for God to come to us and challenge us personally, so that we are those who are ready and able and willing to joyfully repeat Mary's song, and not just to sing it, but to live it. The principles of faith and love and hope and justice that are there, may we live those out in the week that lies ahead. Mark also directed us to words from Isaiah 65, and I want to read just a few verses from the section that's headed A New Heavens and a New Earth, and just remind us of the wonderful future that we have. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth, says the Lord. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight, and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard no more. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. Want to say a closing prayer, but just before I do that, a reminder that if you are listening to this on Sunday morning, whether it's via the Facebook Watch Party or via YouTube or our website, then we are meeting immediately after the service. So 11:30, we'll do so at the Zoom after party for people who normally log into this. The details are the same as usual. And we will share communion together today. We will break bread and we will drink wine as a remembrance and also as an anticipation of the coming of our Lord. We pray together. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for the irrepressible hope that you give to us. Lord, in an age where hope is very much at a premium, we thank you and we praise you. We worship you for the sure and certain hope that we have. Fill our hearts with that hope right now. Fill our lives with that hope, that you might strengthen us and enable us to be a strength and a source of hope, a beacon of hope for others. So, Lord, we thank you, we lift our prayers to you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Set our eyes on our Savior. See the image of love. Sing his praises forever.